Last week you interrupted the introduction music with a big splurging cough, and what were you just saying then, JB?
I put on the headphones and they're very loud.
Okay, well, thanks for letting us know. Cheers.
Okay. I had a fright.
Well, it is Unlucky 13, episode 13 of the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast. I'm Tim, that was JB.
Hi, Tim.
And there's Phil.
Hi, Tim.
So, last week JB had a stinking hangover from 3-day stag do, and this week you both got a hangover from a night out last night.
A little bit, yeah. We had a bit of a Christmas do.
But feeling much, much better than last week.
But relatively speaking, not feeling 100%, but a lot better than last week.
If you didn't loosen it like 85% of our listenership after Friday's podcast, I would be amazed.
Well, I'll tell you what, let's deal with last week's first, because we've had a lot of responses at Rugby Podcast on Twitter, people getting involved, so any other business to kick things off?
I like this music.
Good. Well, we had a discussion about supplements and the amazing names that they have. Alex Roberts on Twitter got in touch and said, I heard you mention Hemo Rage. That stuff is insane. Is that the one that got banned, Phil? Was on the banned list?
It was on the banned list, yeah.
He said, it's insane. Another one is Extreme Napalm.
imagine the marketing department there. Napalm, is that enough? No. Extreme Napalm? Yes. Go with that. Well done, Roger.
Alex on Twitter says, that particular supplement makes you feel like your face is melting.
Yeah, that's not what I'm looking for in my supplements. I don't know about you.
I definitely am. Definitely am.
And also, another tweet here says, I've seen pure protein labelled as super anabolic hardcore whey.
Nice.
It's just getting a bit ridiculous. Also, this one from Andrew Foster, who said, I've had Benji Marshall singing Craig David in my head all week. I've been humming Craig David songs. Is embarrassing, but thank you very much. Yeah, that was Rugby Oki, and keep an ear out for this week's Rugby Oki, which is an Ireland international.
Ooh.
So thank you very much for that. And if you want to contribute anything of what you're about to hear from the podcast, at Rugby Podcast on Twitter. But let's crack on then. And I've got a question for you. As England's Premiership rugby sides are saying they're not going to be involved in European competition next year, don't know if it's brinkmanship, don't know if they're just out and they're going to renegotiate, who knows what's going to happen. So here's a question. What is more likely to happen than European rugby for next season being sorted amicably?
Dean Ryan winning a Premiership game.
Do you see they lost at the weekend?
Did they?
Well, on Thursday night, please, wasn't it?
To who?
To Biarritz.
Who are in us?
Yeah, but Biarritz.
They're only last in the table.
They're average.
Biarritz are terrible.
They're
this
so
season.
Old. They are, yeah. So old.
Didn't there was too much other great rugby on to pay a lot of attention to it, to be honest.
I've paid literally none, so.
Well, we'll talk in a bit more depth about that one, but I'd say another thing more likely than European rugby being sorted for next season amicably, Jacques Berger's nose resembling a nose.
Oh, did you see the tweet from Jacques Berger?
I did see the tweet from Jacques Berger.
Jacques Berger tweeted, I caught up with this handsome young man, tweeted a picture of himself and, is it Mario or Merkel?
Mauro Berger Masco.
Who is a proper doppelganger.
Yeah.
Except has a nose that looks a little bit more like a nose than Jacques Berger's.
Only marginally, though.
I think Jacques Berger's hair is more voluminous.
Yeah.
I definitely felt that. More substantial.
Yeah. Phil, have you got one? What's more likely than European rugby being sorted amicably?
Mark Levermont getting another job coaching just about any team after his farcical management of the France team in the World Cup 2 years ago.
That was. All right, then. Something more likely than European rugby being sorted out amicably for next season. Sky Sports getting back enough rugby coverage to justify the amount of pundits on their roster.
Quite a few. All struggling for airtime.
They are struggling for airtime, aren't they? They're fighting.
Is Will Greenwood still there? Has he moved?
Yeah.
That's a shame. That's actually a waste.
It's a waste of talent, that.
They can keep Scott Quinnell, though.
Greenwood writes in The Telegraph and a few other places, so
He's got plenty of his own interests on the go. And, you know, Scott Quinnell does those like...
Postcode lottery.
Postcode lottery.
that's a big earner, that one. That's a real money spinner.
All right, well, we'll talk it at a bit more depth with the European situation. In fact, let's do that now. Let's talk Europe. There's a lot of rugby to talk about, probably beyond the scope of the podcast to talk about all of it. So what caught your eye particularly?
Leicester's game against Montpellier was awesome.
That was a great game.
Yeah, high scoring. And Leicester, was it 24 points up in 15 minutes? Looking really good, really powerful. Let Montpellier back in it.
Yeah.
With a couple of scrappy tries. Did you see one of our favourite players, Mamuka Gorgodza?
Gorgodza.
55-yard dash for the line.
And also, do you see the pathetic attempt of a tackle as he went over?
From Dan Bowden.
Yeah, he just turned around, get off me, Dan.
Yeah.
Miles Benjamin scored a couple of world-class tries. A couple of world-class tries. That one where he just sort of seemed to jump over everyone.
Well,
it was amazing.
Was he not top try scorer in Worcester?
A couple of seasons ago? Quite a few seasons ago.
Yeah, they had Marcel Garvey and Miles Benjamin on the wings, yeah. That's some gas.
But he was injured for a year, wasn't he? So he moved, was injured for a year, we never saw him, and he's just coming back now.
Yeah.
So I reckon he could be in a shot for England, especially with all his injuries now.
And look at him and, what was it, Johnny May?
Johnny May looked good.
I like England, actually. We were saying last week how we're looking with the wingers being injured and everything, but actually, when you look at it, we've got some talent in England.
Wasn't Johnny May's try, but he basically set it up. Was it Edinburgh that
it was against Edinburgh?
Anyone in that awful Edinburgh kit deserves to lose. But mind you, they don't deserve to lose to someone playing in a Gloucester kit. So
the kits were both dreadful.
A real conundrum there.
Some of the Edinburgh tackling was pretty woeful as well.
They just couldn't touch Johnny May.
The one for me that I'm going to mention is Harlequins. Because what a classy performance. Racing Metro didn't look much of a dangerous team.
Outside their star players.
Well, yeah. Did you see the team sheet?
Yeah.
Because if you count the players that weren't starting, all of their money was on the bench or not playing. So Tonga Weir wasn't playing. Mujati was on the bench. Phillips was on the bench. Yeah. Sexton was on the bench. Jamie Roberts wasn't playing.
Yeah.
Was Lydiot playing?
Nope.
So all of their big signings.
I've said it before, but I don't think they've got much talent outside of their big names. I mean, you could say about anyone. Saying take away their best players and they've not got much talent. Obviously, everyone's the same. But within their case, I think it's really.
That's
really
a scoreline in Paris of 8-32. I think was amazing. I would say Nick Easter in the second row is awesome, and he's defying the kind of the years on the clock. Out of their match day squad of 23. How many Englishmen were in their squad?
All of them, maybe?
Well, Nick Evans.
Nick Evans, was the exception, I guess.
Probably 21 or 22.
21 out of 23. Incredible.
And if they have an injury...
Ben Botica being the other one, or I don't know if he's English qualified or whatever, but potentially.
He might be on residency.
Does he not paid for one of the islands or something like that?
Yeah, he might be the other one. But 21 out of 23, I thought, and they went to Paris and won, and I just thought, fair play, Quinns. Well done.
That's really good.
And of those 21, most of them have come through Quinns.
Yeah, and if anyone ever gets injured, they just replace them by a bleached blonde hair public school boy from Surrey somewhere.
Those two, Walker and Hopper.
Just throw them in.
What about you, Phil? What caught your eye?
Well, the biggest game of the weekend, the Northampton Leinster, was unbelievable.
It wasn't even the biggest game in the end.
I will just read out a tweet which we got at Rugby Podcast from Stereo Mike, Mark Hearn, who said, "I cannot believe you all wrote off Leinster so easily, lads. Shame on you."
Yeah, we all picked Leinster in our predictions league.
There's something weird about the Irish.
We all picked
Northampton at home. But, I mean, fair enough. He wouldn't have been writing that tweet had Leinster just shaded a victory, because we were all saying, wow, that's going to be tight. Or we'll just squeeze the home victory. But to put him to the sword like that.
And what's scary is Leinster bombed two tries as well. It could have been 50-odd.
I reckon, yeah.
And they didn't have that much possession either. Like, territory and possession, Northampton won the stats on that.
The difference was how clinical Leinster were. When they got in that position in the 22, they just stepped up and
like the All Blacks.
Yeah, they weren't winning the collisions and that kind of thing. They were giving up yards. They were kind of... It felt, if you just watched, say, a 30-second period of the game, it wasn't like Leinster were massively dominant.
No.
But then all of a sudden they'd get a turnover.
Yeah.
Or they'd make a break. But they weren't, like, bossing the breakdown. They weren't physically dominating. I was actually thinking, watching that Leinster game, that if I got like a list of the top 10 Heineken Cup moments, I reckon at least 6 of them would involve Leinster or Munster in some way. There's something weird about the Irish in the Heineken Cup.
And also the fanatical fan base, the fanatical support that they both have, it makes everything a bit more special, I think, particularly when they're playing at home.
It does. I mean, we just mentioned Racing Metro. I know they lost everything, but there was 30,000 people at that game.
30,000 people booing at the end as well.
Exactly. The Munster match, as you just mentioned, there was 24,000 people at that game. And then you look at the attendances for some of the English clubs and it's a bit disappointing, frankly.
Well, Franklin's Gardens, they sold out, but it's only 13,500.
Yeah.
They could have, I don't know, move it to Coventry maybe. All of the Irish teams won, though, including that incredible win for Connacht.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
That is, no one would have predicted that.
But don't, I think Toulouse do this once a year, like a kind of a charitable rugby thing, which is they lose to someone that they shouldn't lose
giving
to
some,
every year.
Giving something, yeah, back something to the back. Game.
Exactly. They did it to Llanelli a few years ago.
Say that again.
Llanelli. There you
cool.
go.
I like it. I'm good. I want
to. Llanelli. There you are. Is that better?
That's brilliant. All right. Well, we'll return to some more of the rugby action from the week. But let's do our dream team for the week then. So our dream team is we pick a topic and we then have to fill a 15 shirts, 15 players that deserve this shirt. And as always, there's players we miss. So you can always have your say at Rugby Podcast on Twitter. So it's Christmas party season.
It is.
So a lot of people will be going out and having some refreshments, just like JB and Phil did yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Which one of you was out last?
Phil, believe it or not.
Were you?
Yeah.
And you're the one that went into work today, and JB, you stayed at home.
I was working from home. It's a big difference.
Oh, of course you were. Yeah, of yeah. course. Oh, I forgot your colleagues listened to the podcast.
Oh, well, they all listen to it religiously. No, I was working very hard from home. If anyone from work's listening.
Okay, so we will have a drinks 15 then. So it can be soft drinks, it can be alcoholic drinks, but 15 shirts, that's our topic. That might be a bit of wordplay going on. It could just be people that have the same name as a drink.
Like Remy Martin, just like him.
Remy Martini, or Martin. Martin.
No, Remy Martin.
Oh, yeah, Remy Martin. Martin. Oh, my God.
His full name is a drink.
Oh, my God, that's amazing.
Have you not thought of that one?
I can't believe that. He's an open side as well.
He is.
Yeah.
Well, we'll get to him in a minute. Let's start in the front row, then.
Let's do it.
Come on, then.
Perry Freshwater.
Yeah.
Oh, beautiful.
Two drinks.
Two, yeah.
Perry is a pear cider.
Yeah. Ah, indeed.
You could have tenuously had Ivy and Lewis Roberts in one because his nickname is The Fridge.
Oh, nice.
Fridge milkshake, but I thought Australian international Ben Robinson.
Yeah. Robinson's. I thought this, and too many alcohol companies are just named after a surname. So it got.
It's like, a bit lazy doing that, isn't it?
Like Cobain's and all the rest of it.
Mm.
Well, there's some others.
Go on then, Phil.
I had. Well, it's not a drink, but it's something that would store drinks. I had Con Barrel.
Good, good.
New Zealand prop.
Strong.
Andrew Sheridan.
Oh. Sherry!
Awful.
I have got another front row Sherry. There's an Irish hooker called Mike Sherry.
Mike Sherry, fine. I would have gone with George Shooter.
Oh, no.
Thanks.
Oh, I love it.
How's that not obvious?
The spelling doesn't.
It's dyslexia for you. Good. That's how I spell Shooter.
Oh, that's a great one. So we're George Shooter in the hooker, Perry Freshwater, and
Con Barrel,
yeah.
Con Barrel, George Shooter, Perry Freshwater into the locks. Then
I had Dean Mum. Mum's a brand of champagne.
Oh, it is. Well done, yeah.
It is, yeah. Former London Wasps and current London Welsh second row Matt Corker.
Oh, good. Nice. I like that one.
And there is a player who plays for the Free State Cheetahs. Or are they just called the Cheetahs in Super Rugby?
Don't know.
Yeah. Mm.
They're in Free State.
They're Cheetahs anyway.
Yeah.
Called Lude De Jager.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Good. Well, I've got current, I think he's Kenyan international, Moses Kola. K-O-L-A.
Who did you play for?
Someone in Kenya. Do you want me to tell him?
Yeah, I want information. I want to know what club in Kenya he plays
for. Okay, we'll find him now.
This verified.
Moses Kola. There he is.
Second row.
He lives in Nairobi, Kenya, and here's a picture of him with a trophy. There he is playing. It's obviously a televised match because the match officials have all got like body paint on. And there he is playing for Kenya.
Does Kola get ahead of Corker and De Jager?
Kola? Absolutely does.
Yeah, Kola and Corker.
Kola and Corker, like yep. it. Kola and Corker in second row. Back row. Remy Martin.
Remy Martin.
Captain.
Potential captain. Yeah. If not, he is captain.
I have got another player with a full name as a drink.
Gone.
But we'll come to him later.
Oh, interesting.
What position is it? Just so we can get thinking, like maybe.
A winger.
A winger.
Ooh,
with
I've
a full
got.
Name.
I've
got a player who has a full name that is a brand of beer.
Gone.
No, I'll come to it later.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
He's a fly half. Plays in the Premiership.
Ah.
Yeah. So get thinking about that one. But we'll do back row in the meantime.
Yeah.
I don't know if he still plays. I think he might be at Bristol now. Was at Gloucester. Pete Buxton.
Oh, water.
Yeah.
Mm. Corey Beerman.
Yeah.
Yes. Joe Bierman as well.
Oh, sorry. Corey Bierman plays in the NFL.
Oh, right.
Sorry about that. Yeah, Joe Bierman.
Crosswires, Joe Bierman, yeah.
Yep.
He's Newport Gwent Dragons, isn't he?
Yes, yeah. Yeah, yeah, it was.
Magnus Lund.
Clever.
Magnus Lund. Ben Morgan's spiced rum.
Yeah, there's a few like almost players who, if you put an S on them, would become anyone called Bailey.
Yeah, I was looking for Baileys for ages.
Yeah.
Couldn't find Baileys.
I like Magnus Lund. I kind of want to put that in for the effort. Remy Martin and Magnus Lund as our flankers. And then, go on then, Phil, pick the other back row. Who do you want?
Buxton. I like Buxton.
Okay, Pete Buxton, Magnus Lund and Remy Martin. Scrum half. I've got no scrum half, so I'm going to take a back seat here.
Well, Sean Perry is the obvious one.
Oh, yeah.
Sean Perry, who I saw at the weekend.
Did you?
What was he doing?
He was coaching Dudley.
Was he still in his international shape? Or
Dudley?
Put on a bit of timber.
A bit of timber.
Not ridiculous. Not too bad.
Is he still playing?
No.
I always liked him as a player. I thought he was very, very good.
He was solid.
Very good club player.
Yeah, he was like an extra back row player, wasn't
he? Do you remember when Bristol got into the playoffs? He was awesome. Him and Dan
Ward-Smith, number 8. Sean Perry, 9. Dan Ward-Smith, 8.
I had two of the 9s.
Go on.
But both are from rugby league.
Let's hear him.
One, Josh Drinkwater, who's an Australian rugby league player. And another Australian rugby league player is Brandy Alexander.
Oh, that's awesome.
Brandy was his nickname. But that's what he goes by. If you type in Brandy Alexander rugby, you'll
Oh, Brandy was his nickname?
Yeah.
Wonder how he got that.
Greg Brandy Alexander.
I've got a centre for him.
Well, should we pick scrum half first?
Oh, sorry, I thought those were fly halves.
I like your free form. We're gonna constrain you to the to the system where we go through one number at a time. If that's all right.
Okay.
Pick a scrum half then.
Sean Perry's
best. Sean Perry.
Best known.
Sean Perry. So fly half then. He's a guy who plays in the Premiership currently, although he's kind of a backup, and I think he might be injured as well. But it's the name of a beer, Timothy Taylor.
Oh, of course it is.
Tim Good. Taylor.
Damn it.
I did also have. Jonathan Sexton, the beach.
Sorry?
Sexton the beach.
That's awful.
I like that.
That's terrible.
Sexton the beach. Probably one thing he wouldn't get if he wasn't a professional rugby player. He looks like an 11-year-old boy.
He certainly does.
Who do you want to fly half then? Sexton the beach or Timothy
Absolutely
Taylor?
Absolutely not Sexton the beach. Timothy Taylor's great.
Yeah,
I'm happy. Good.
Timothy Taylor in at fly half then to centres. Right, OK, so what about Stefan Glass?
Yes, good one, Tim.
It's good. You sound so sarcastic. The former French international, and he only retired a couple of years ago, I think, from Stade Francais. He's not in the game currently, but...
How about this guy? Tom Collins played rugby league and rugby...
Yes, he plays for Northampton.
Yes, he does. Scored his very first try.
Tom Collins. Tom Collins, two weeks ago.
Scored his first ever senior try.
The Northampton one is called Tommy Collins on Twitter. The one I'm talking about, Tom Collins, died in 1950. So I could go for 12 and 13, Tom and Tommy Collins. Well,
I've never had a Tom Collins. What is a Tom Collins?
No idea. It's a drink of some sort. Is it not a cocktail?
It's lemon and soda water.
Sounds delicious.
Gin, maybe?
Do you make... I don't know.
Well, we need to get a bit more cultured. A Tom Collins is gin, lemon juice, sugar and carbonated water.
No, they are. Well,
pretty much what I said.
Yeah, well, exactly what you said.
Hold the sugar for me. that's actually the winger that I had, whose full name is a drink.
Tom Collins.
Yeah.
Tommy Collins.
Is he a centre or a wing?
He played on the wing. Played on the wing 2 weeks ago.
I can't believe in the centres we haven't mentioned Will Carling yet.
Yeah.
Oh, of course you haven't.
And if you type in champagne rugby...
Which I have tried.
You will...
Comes up with YouTube videos of...
Broughton Park.
Really?
No.
Oh, right.
For your information, that's JB's team.
If you haven't already. Yeah.
You will eventually find champagne Flutie. Ricky Flutie.
The
headline.
How many pages down did you have to go to get that?
Quite a long way.
Champagne Flutie.
So we've got Flutie, Glass, Carling.
I like Carling and Glass.
Are we just going back? Are you sure you want Timothy Taylor above Sexton on the beach?
Yes, absolutely.
I do prefer Sexed on the Beach.
I'm going Sexed on the Beach.
Yeah,
Sexed on the Beach.
What can I do?
But you can pick the centres then. I think Will Carling, surely.
Will Carling, Stefan Glass.
Okay. Well, the wingers, you said move Tom Collins onto the wing, but
there's a few wingers.
Yeah, there's quite a few. I mean, James Short.
Yeah, that's one I've got.
Alid Brew.
Yeah.
Oh, Alid Brew's in.
Yeah, like it.
And what about this one? A Sky Sports pundit.
Go on.
Tinus Delport.
Oh, well done, Tim.
I was trying to get a port in there. I couldn't find it. Rob Miller, Sale, winger, winger fullback.
He's quite light. Ooh. Ooh, oh, dear.
Hold on a minute. Right, say that again, JB. Rob Miller's a good suggestion.
He's also quite light. Thanks, Tim.
We've got quite a lot to pick from there. Is there any more wingers and fullbacks?
I've got a fullback.
Another couple of wingers as well.
Oh, let's hear wingers.
There's a 19-year-old playing at Bordeaux called Ronan Chambord. Black raspberry liqueur.
Those in the know.
No! I'm going to thank you. I'm glad you clarified that because I was...
liqueur.
Can I just say, you think Sedgley Park's a working man's rugby club? Far from it.
Chambord, fellas.
They all drink with the pinky out in Sedgley Park Rugby Club.
Have you ever heard of a cocktail called...
Yes.
...called a moonlight?
No.
Have you ever heard of a rugby player called David Moonlight?
No.
No, heard of neither.
He's a... Canadian international.
What came first here? Are you finding the name Moonlight or are you looking for the cocktail Moonlight?
I've been trying to shoehorn David Moonlight into every single 15 and I've not found a way yet, so...
Have you Googled Moonlight cocktail?
Yes, that's exactly what I did.
And does it exist?
It does exist.
Oh, boom. Well done, you.
We'll have to do a nighttime 15 just so you can get David Moonlight in and get that out of your system. Right, so we need to pick a back three. There was Rob Miller, Tom Collins, Alid Brew... Tinus Delport.
Oh, I'm playing
David Moonlight, Mark Foster.
Also Ronan Chambord.
Roman Chambord.
And Earl Rose.
And James Short. So
James,
come on,
James
then.
Short, wow.
I think we should all get to pick one of our favourite one. So, of those. Don't say David Moonlight, Phil.
Chambord.
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 Chambord, sorry.
Board. Alid Brew for me.
And Tom Collins has to play.
Tom Collins on one wing. Alid Brew on the other, and Tinus Delport at fullback.
Nice.
Done. Job done.
Have we not got the now a traditional Irish coach gag at the end? No's got...
I have got a coach.
You've not got a Dave Guinness or something?
I have got a coach.
Go on.
Jameson Moeller. Yeah, Jameson is his first name.
Jameson Moeller.
Who's Bath's strength... current first team strength and conditioning coach.
I can't believe how beautiful this segue is going to be from one thing to the next on the Ink Chasers Rugby podcast. Now you've mentioned a member of the Bath coaching staff. Well, that was a great 15. So thank you very much. If you agree, disagree, think we missed someone, or just want to barrack Phil on bringing up some Chambord.
Chambord and mum champagne. My word.
I don't know what you guys have been drinking.
That's how they do it, essentially. So at Rugby Podcast on Twitter. Right, move on. And we go from Jameson, what's his name?
Jameson Moeller.
Jameson Moeller, the Bath strength and conditioning coach, to the now departed Gary Cold, Bath rugby coach. He's gone.
I only heard this today when I came in here and you said Gary Cold's gone. So can you tell us why?
It's currently Monday evening, so it's just happened about an hour ago.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
It's been announced an hour ago anyway.
Do we know any reasons why?
They said it was in the best interest of the club and Gary Cold.
Yeah, it looks like mutual, inverted commas, definitely. They released a statement that said they're restructuring the rugby department.
I think it's a horrible statement because...
For a rugby club to make.
What other department could there be?
What other department would make news? Sure, they will have other departments, but no one cares.
The rowing department's going to be reorganised. Gary Gold's got to go.
Can I just say we could have had Gary Goldschlager? Sorry, as the coach.
Oh, he's free now, so
he's free
as well.
Now, we can pick him up for our Dream 15. But I don't know, I look at it and you go... And we were just talking before the podcast about who their coaching staff is, and there's Toby Booth, who you'd assume will just slot straight into that kind of overseer kind of role.
Yeah.
Mike Ford.
Yep. Backs and defence.
Backs and defence. And you've got Neil Hatley, who's done some good work with their forwards and turned them into a pretty forceful forward pack, to be fair.
Now, right, Gary Gould, I think he's done exactly the right thing, but I always have to say it's a little bit of a cheat. It's like someone employing you, Tim, to do, I don't know, some radio work. And instead of you doing the radio work, you then go and employ three brilliant people who work in radio to do your job. I don't know how he quite got away with it for so long. Toby Booth, awesome. Mike Ford, pretty good. So what did he do?
Well, it's the same as Clive Woodward, Martin Johnson, when he was in charge of England. Actually, the hands-on coaching, they don't do any of. They organise the coaches and set the path.
Yeah. Pretty sure I could do that job. I'm almost certain of it.
Looking at strategy and high level and that kind of thing rather than the hands-on stuff.
How much strategy is there to organise a rugby team?
Maybe that's actually what's happened. It's like, we're all right, thanks.
Do you reckon he didn't show up to work for like 2 or 3 weeks and everything just went really smoothly? Hang on, what's Gary actually doing here?
Would have understood this more had they got rid of him at the end of last season when they finished mid-table and had a bit of a disappointing year given the quality of players that they've got at their disposal. But they've won 9 in a row.
They look good. They're a solid team.
Third in the table, just, I think, 4 points behind Saracens. Yeah. 4 or 6 points behind. And looking like they could push on. And
they're a good all-round team as well. They've got a huge pack.
And they look like seem like they're built for the future as well.
They can play. They've got some young talent in there as well.
So if Ford Jr. Develops into the player we all hope he's going to develop into. They're going to be set up for a long time there.
There has been a bit of trouble in the camp. Only a couple of minor things, but there was the Henson incident over the summer with Carl Ferns.
Mm-hmm.
And that becoming
one-way traffic.
Becoming public. And then the Eastman thing about a month ago now where he stormed off at half-time.
There's one thing that just occurred to me as we were talking about this Gary Gould situation. It's around about this time of year when contracts start to be re-signed and signed. So, again, this is pure speculation, but I wonder whether maybe a couple of big-name players went, I'm not re-signing with him at the helm or something like that.
Yeah.
Again, it's probably wrong to even speculate, but I just suddenly thought the timing of it, when Bath have just won 9 in a row, it just seems a strange time of year of the season to go.
Unless this is just preempting another offer and he's going to get a bigger job, as in a national job.
If it's speculation you want, that's why we're here. Can we all make up one reason each where Gary Gould's left and then make that official?
Yeah.
Go on, Phil. I'm going to go something like dodgy internet history.
Something to do with Henson.
Yes, that's a good one.
Just trouble that boy.
Something to do with Henson. We'll come back to it.
Henson and Gould's wife. Henson and Gould's Henson and Gould's daughter.
That's exactly what happened. Like David Moyes and
Wilfred Zaha, allegedly. Zaha.
What?
Have you not heard this?
Sorry, it's been the rumour for like 2 months because Wilfred Zaha didn't make the 25-man Premiership squad initially.
Same reason that Gavin Henson's not playing for Bath.
And then on Friday...
Can I just make a point?
There's so
much defamation and libelous. That was clearly a joke. But yeah, go on, come on.
It's not a joke.
that's been speculating for months on Twitter and on the internet.
I missed that.
But Wilfred Zaha, on his own personal Twitter account on Friday, said, all this speculation is rubbish. I've never met nor dated
Lauren Moyes'
daughter.
Who deleted her Twitter account.
But then he was on the bench for United for the first time on Saturday.
Wow!
That's just speculation, though, obviously.
Yeah, of course it's just speculation.
It's fact. It's fact. They're all facts.
Well, that's something that's going to keep us tidying over, actually, isn't it, over the next few weeks, is the player merry-go-round, which she's going to start in earnest. And on that front, let's just talk about the fact that Sam Warburton's basically said he's got a couple of days, probably by the time you listen to this podcast, the decision's already been done. It doesn't look like the WRU are going to be able to afford to keep him.
Good.
He said he's resigned to leaving for France.
Good, good.
JB being... Well, you were saying that as a proud Welshman and Welsh fan. Why did you say good?
Well, because, as I've said quite a lot, if you want to pay one of our players $300,000 a year to play, so be it. It opens up another place for the next 7 and just keep pushing the kids through. Not great for regional rugby, but it's great for the Welsh team.
Yeah, it is good for the Welsh team. You've been making that point for a while, and there was a very good demonstration of it at the weekend with Ian Madigan's performance for Leinster.
Yeah.
who, if Sexton had stayed with Leinster, he never would have had the opportunity to do that. But
that's
he looks
interesting point.
He
yeah.
looks superb, and yeah, that Sexton moving to Racing Metro has allowed the opportunity for a youngster to come through.
And and arguably, it's by that token, by your argument, it's serving the Welsh national team, and it's restricting the French national team.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
In one fell swoop,
and the English national team to a point because
with Hibbard's
to Gloucester, going, yeah,
Bradley Davies
is,
to Wasps,
what,
and
George North is obviously already gone. But already
I think Gloucester's two signings are going to make a huge difference to them.
Afoa
and Hibbard.
Because Gloucester's scrum has been probably an area of weakness. Yeah.
And Hibbard's a hell of a player now. He's really matured nicely.
Yeah.
So I think that could be probably one of the best signings in the Premiership for next year.
And Wasps look like they're signing Bradley Davies and Reece Priestland.
Reece Priestland? Do you know what? That's really strange. I was thinking today, who would ever sign Reece Priestland? I actually thought that.
The already poor domestic product that's on offer in Wales is only going to get worse. Is that going to have a negative effect?
No, I think that we'll just find some more kids that'll be fine.
I think it will get... will start to have an impact, a negative impact. Because the other thing is the release dates for the international window. All the French players will get released later than their Welsh teammates before the Six Nations, so they'll get 1 week less training camp. They'll be playing on the weekend before. They'll be playing in the rest periods. So that must have an impact.
Maybe, but apparently they've got to have that added into their contract language. So
we might see more George North-style contracts.
That's going to rumble on and on. I'm sure we're going to get to talk about it, but it looks like it's only a one direction for Wales right now in terms of their players going, but we'll keep an eye on the players and the transfers as they go in and out. Mm. Now then, we come to that beautiful moment where we talk rugby hokey. The wonderful world of rugby players turning their hand to singing, and we've already heard, you know, tweets from people saying that they're going around humming Craig David, courtesy of Benji Marshall, the soon-to-be New Zealand Auckland Blues rugby player, New Zealand Rugby League international. There's been Ben Foden. Oh, next week.
I can't wait for next week.
The Ben Foden Christmas special. It's going to be something else, guys.
It's going off.
Let's have a little clip of Ben Foden.
He's trying far too hard on this.
The Ben Foden Christmas special is coming.
Oh, thank God.
Oh, let's play a little clip of him with his Mrs. Una as well.
It is cheesy, but that's what we do, isn't it?
All right,
okay, cheesy. What you doing, Ben?
I'm doing nothing. Cause there at least I'm doing nothing wrong. Yeah, I'm gonna stay on my own and turn off my telephone.
Yeah, all right, Ben. The Ben Foden Christmas special is coming.
Can't wait. Shall we do like an internal Secret Santa for next week? Or buy the person to your left a present?
Or maybe we have to bring a gift of a piece of rugby-related audio.
Ooh, nice.
For the podcast. What do you reckon?
Yep.
A bit of research.
Okay.
So it could be a post-match interview. It could be a funny bit of commentary. It could be a player looking stupid. Or it could be some rugby okey.
Excellent choice, Tim.
This week, we've got a couple of Irish rugby internationals, both of which have been suggested on Twitter. Thank you very much, Stephen McCoon, for getting in touch. I've got an Irish international doing something a bit festive.
Yeah, do it.
Yeah? Paddy Jackson, the Ulster and Ireland fly half. Well, recently there was a little video of him and Simon Zeebo miming.
Oh, yes, wasn't there?
But they've done quite a scary, freaky Christmas song.
Is it an advert?
I don't know, but it's quite disturbing, actually, and we'll put the video at Rugby Podcast. This is Paddy Jackson, like I say, Ulster and Ireland fly half.
That's it.
It was Christmas Eve. In the drunk tank.
Drunk tank? That's me!
An old man said to me.
What did he say, Paddy?
Won't see another one.
Oh, that's sad.
And then he sang a song.
The JCB song?
Is this the rare old mountain dew?
No, sing the JCB song.
Is it what?
For the Ted.
This way.
Don't turn your face, sing JCB.
And dreamed about you.
Drink.
I don't like where this is going, Paddy. Nice try.
I don't quite understand what I just watched or heard.
Yeah. It's not our best Ryobi, and I hope I never see it again.
The singing is actually quite good. If you could cut it down to just Paddy Jackson doing Fairy Tale of New York.
They're just peculiar. Have you ever seen...
they're just peculiar.
They are just peculiar. Statement.
No. Absolutely 100% true.
From a Welshman.
Have you ever had the pleasure of watching Irish comedy? Outside of Father Ted, which is maybe the best comedy ever made, have you ever seen The Rubber Bandits?
No.
It is the weirdest thing you will ever see.
I've seen a song.
Bags on the head.
My other car's a horse or something.
I've got
a horse
outside, hasn't it?
Yeah, I've got a horse outside.
Because Broughton Park has got a huge Irish following for some reason. In fact, it's so big that I don't actually think Irish people are from Ireland. I think they're from Manchester and then they emigrate. So this song from Rubber Bandits was going around for ages, and it makes no sense whatsoever.
Well, that makes almost as little sense as that.
It's same sort of humour.
Paddy Jackson. Well, I'll tell you what, maybe Simon Zeebo can save it, because Simon Zeebo, the Irish and British and Irish Lions winger, he is normally Paddy Jackson's partner in crime with some of these, and the two of them have been made music videos where they mime to rap songs, Kanye West and Jay-Z. Being one of them. Simon Zeebo was in a club where there was a band playing, and he grabbed the microphone and the guys just played, and he raps along to No Diggity by Blackstreet.
Oh my word.
This is Simon Zeebo on Rugby Oki.
Ooh, that's awkward.
Live music in pubs.
I tell you now, you go there for a quiet pint and you're talking to your mate about, or in my case, I'm talking at my mate, right? And then, out of nowhere,
comes an Irish international.
Yeah, singing in your face, arrogantly thinking that you want to hear them more than your friend wants to hear you. I really dislike it.
Do you dislike Simon Zeebo singing in a pub?
If I was having a quiet drink, talking to Phil about how awful Dean Ryan is at managing Worcester, and then Simon Zeebo started interrupting our conversation with that rendition, yeah, I'd be fairly annoyed.
You've been generally a bit annoyed and baffled by this week's Rugby Oki.
Yeah, I have, actually.
We're going to have to save it next week with Ben Foden's Christmas special.
They've really brought the standard down. And it upsets me. It's quite the institution now, Rugby Oki.
Well, hopefully, like I say, next week's Ben Foden's Christmas special can save the day. But as ever, if you have any suggestions for a Rugby Oki like Mark Hearn, then at Rugby Podcast on Twitter.
Did I ever mention the time that I went to see R. Kelly?
You?
that as the start of an anecdote coming from you.
I went to watch the Lions in South Africa when they were over there last, and we were drinking Miller Lights, no relation to Rob Miller, and they were giving out scratch cards when you bought a crate of Miller. So I kind of ignored the scratch card, gave it back to the Miller girl, and she scratched it for me in Sun City, the casino, and said, "Oh, you've won." What have I won? She goes, "Oh, you've won a little trip to go and see R. Kelly in the after party." I was like, "So not the actual concert, but the bit after the concert."
And then after the party, it's the hotel lobby.
Like, yes, this is on.
Around about four, we gotta clear the lobby. Then you take it to the room and you freak somebody.
So
That's Ignition, isn't it?
That's Ignition.
Yep, heard that one.
But
we were in a casino, and I was dressed much like I usually dress, which is a rugby top, some of my, I think, Colwyn Bay shorts, which I wear notoriously small and tight shorts. But I was actually wearing like my pink Stade Francais top. Now, I'm going to have to think of a very PC way to put this, but the South African crowd going to watch R. Kelly, there's not many Afrikaans attending, and they're a very, very serious bunch. So I'm in my shorts and my rugby top, and the 40-odd-year-old censor that we went with starts singing I Believe I Can Fly in the coolest lobby which you've ever seen.
Had you had a skimful at this point?
We absolutely had. So R. Kelly finally gets on stage, and he does a double check towards me and Mike because we look so radically different to everyone else. There was about a 4-foot exclusion zone around where we were standing. So we disappeared rather quick. But yeah.
Wow, love it. At Rugby Podcast on Twitter, keep in touch. And don't forget to listen on Friday because we'll be releasing the podcast, which is looking ahead to the weekend's rugby action. Who picked last time?
I picked last time.
So JB, come on then. Pick a song to play us out on the podcast.
Not Elliot Daly. Not Burgess. Ricky Flusey we had recently.
Corpse.
Yeah. Not Corpusiero.
Corpusiero. Corpusiero? I'll go then.
Keep it kind of quiet.
See you next
People
time.
People on a diet.
Sorry. Scrum is straight, Tom is right. I don't deny it.
Bye.
Test me, try it. Style, you don't buy it. I'ma grab the microphone and start to fly it. Up, up, high. Grab the mic and make you cry. Told you before we represent L.I. London Irish, you can't deny this. So, sick. Attendance, you can't buy this.